Good morning. Yesterday, we talked about talking. In fact, the day before, we also talked about talking. So Yitzi asked a question. What would the Rambam think about talking that might be pointless talking, except you're doing it to make someone feel good? And I said, I don't know. And I still don't know for sure. But there is a concept of milus chesed. And the Rambam obviously believed in that too. I was discussing this with Rabbi Grossman after davening yesterday morning, and he reminded me of an interesting letter of the Rambam, and that reminded me of some other interesting letters of the Rambam that we're not going to psychoanalyze the Rambam, but it'll be interesting to see a little bit of the Rambam's personality in relating to, you know, it's not going to answer your question completely, but we'll see. But we'll see some interesting things about the Rambam. So first in Perish Mishnayos, Pirkei Avos, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Vav. Even though the numbers of the numbering of Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos differs from Mishnah, I think. As far as Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, I think they're all still on the same page. So, Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya Omer, Yeshua ben Prachya Omer, Asay lecha Rav v'knei lecha Chaver, v'havidanei kol adam l'kaf sechut. So it says, make yourself a teacher and acquire a friend and judge everyone favorably. On Kinei Lecha Chaver, acquire a friend, Rambam says, Amru B'Lashon Kniya, says to acquire, to buy a friend. It doesn't say make a friend or attach yourself to a friend, because it's teaching that a person should have a friend at all costs. Even if you would have to pay for a friend, you should have a friend. K'mosha Amru, as it says in Gemara, this is Choni HaMagel, said this when he woke up from his 70 years of sleep. O chavruta o mituta, give me a friend or give me death. So if you don't find a friend easily, you have to work very hard on finding a friend. And even if you would have to pay him at first to be your friend, he doesn't mean pay somebody every day, you know, here, come be my friend. It means, you know, you might have to do something, give someone something to establish a relationship, and then he'll be your friend. V'lo yechdal min lehog lefi rucho ad shtichazek chavruto. And you should not stop to do things that will induce the person to be your friend and to act according to his temperament, until the friendship is strengthened. Then you can start being yourself again, I guess. But
the question is, what's a friend?
Hold on. That's a good question. Rambam's going to tell you. Okay. K'mo shamru anshei musar, im hitchavarta, al titchaver lefi darkecha, el titchaver lefi darkei chavercha. As the anshei musar say, doesn't give a source. When you connect to someone, don't connect your way, connect the other person's way. You know, if you want to be someone's friend, so
in their style.
What? In other words, you should be looking to meet his needs and to satisfy his personality. That's how it'll be your friend. Mechta Meliau points out the word ahava, love, has in it the word hav, to give. Love is, true love is not taking, it's giving. And so the Rambam's saying, you know, true friendship is when you are trying to meet the other person's needs. And by the way, that's how you'll acquire a friend for yourself. But he elaborates. Okay. So says, if each one of the friends acts this way, then the goal of each one will be to satisfy the desire of the other one. Then they'll all have the same goal. Become an em amar aristo. How beautiful is the statement of Aristotle. Hayadid acher huata. Your friend is you. That's how they explain it here in the footnotes. In other words, you and your friend are one, essentially. Because if friendship is based on the same goal, then you and your friend are one. Okay. So then the Rambam continues and he says there are three types of friends. Chaver l'toelet, chaver hana'a, chaver l'dvar na'ala. There's a friend for a purpose, like a business partner or the friendship, so to speak, between a king and his soldiers. It just serves an ulterior purpose. The chaver hana'a, a friend for pleasure, which he's going to break into two kinds, and a chaver ledavar na'ala, a friend for a higher purpose. So chaver hana'a hu shnei sugim, chaver ta'anug v'chaver bitachon. Chaver ta'anug, a friend for pleasure, is like marriage. The chaver bitachon, a friend, and the other kind of friend for pleasure is a friend for bitachon, meaning a friend you can have confidence in. That you can have a friend who you can, someone you can count on. Hopefully marriage is like this too. Somebody who you don't have to keep anything back from. You don't have to, ordinarily, you know, at work, you can't always be yourself. You have to restrain some of your personality. A chaver lebitachon is someone that you can have absolute confidence in, that you can be yourself, no secrets. You don't have to hold back anything you want to do or anything you want to say. Umagalelo kol yinyanav, you tell all your secrets, hatov mehem v'ra, good or bad, good and bad. Blish yachush menu shivor mikach vizayon, that you don't have to worry that this person will ever look down on you. Or bring harm to you. When you can have confidence in somebody to that extent, then you'll have great pleasure in his conversation and his friendship. Okay. You see that, again, it doesn't directly address your question, but you see there is a concept of having someone you can just talk to share what's on your mind with, and know it's safe, and know it's gonna only bring you good things, right? It's not gonna get on the internet. It's not gonna be repeated in shul, or anything. The last kind is chaver ledavar na'ala, hu she'tiyek miyat shnehem matratam linyan echad. That's when two people have one goal, and they get together to accomplish that goal, vu asiyat hatov, that is to do good. And they get together to accomplish something together. You know, again, hopefully marriage is like that too. But he's not his intention to talk about marriage specifically, but to talk about different kinds of friendship. So that's what he says on the Mishnah of Kenei Lecha Chaver. Now, as I've mentioned a couple times, the Rambam definitely was an intellectual elitist, definitely believed there are some people you can talk to about intelligent things and some people you just can't and shouldn't even try. In Mor Nevuchim, where he talks about the importance, I mentioned yesterday, the Rambam believed that in order to come close to Hashem, you have to study science, to understand creation. But in Mor Nevuchim, he says, it's not for everybody. In fact, most people, you just tell them, God created the world, God is one. That's all you need to, that's, you know, end of the story, because you're not ever going to understand. They're not ever going to understand more than that. Don't even try to teach them anything about God. That's what he says about most people. So here's a letter that he writes. Rambam talking about, yes, about people in general. Well, he's talking about people's intellectual capabilities. Obviously, we're not concerned about, we're concerned about Jews. We're not concerned about the rest of the world. That's not our, not our job to go out and teach them in a direct way. But
we have to live there. It affects our,
correct,
existence.
But we're not giving shurim for the whole neighborhood. Okay. So in one letter, I'm going to look at three letters that, again, all indirectly touch on this subject. One letter, the Rambam says, now, as I mentioned yesterday also, Rambam wrote most of his writings in Arabic. So a lot of the letters, the Arabic source still exists, and their translations. This particular letter, the original source doesn't exist. It exists only in translation. Somehow, the editor of the letters of the Rambam here know that it's, or believe that it's a letter of the Rambam. Actually, it's in the section called Letters We're in Doubt About. We don't know who he wrote it to, when he wrote it to, or maybe for sure if he wrote it. But he writes, He says, Shma Mashe Yehenecha V'olam Azeh V'olam Haba. Let me tell you something that's going to help you in this world and the next world. Da Shebalei HaTorah V'Azuzim V'Mitzvot Nechlaku L'Shnei Chalakim. People who observe Torah and are careful about mitzvot can be divided into two kinds. Mehem Balei De'ah Hashlemim V'Datam K'mo Shem Shlemim V'Toratam. There are people whose wisdom and intelligence is as complete as their Torah knowledge. Mehem Chasrei Adat, and there are people who are less wise and less intelligent. This second kind of person is very, even though he's talking about a from person who keeps Torah mitzvos, but does very great harm to other people. And he's what's called a chassid shote, a chassid who's an imbecile. Says, let me explain to you how a person in the first category should act, and how a person in the second category acts. The first person engages only in what will further his Torah and his world. And he'll keep people away from him. He won't mix with them. He won't listen to their conversation. So that he'll never have to tell them they're wrong. He'll never have, sometimes, if you hang around people and people say things that are apikorsis, heretical, or just dumb, okay, an intelligent person will feel an obligation to correct them. If you stay away from people, stay in your own world, stay away from people, you won't hear all the things that you have to correct. So, and you won't have cause to hate a person who deserves to be hated, because you won't know about him. You stay, mind your own business, learn your Torah, take care of your growth, stay away from other people, and then you won't have to be rebuking people, correcting people, hating people. Don't go looking for a job as a judge. Similarly, it goes on like that. So that's one, that's the recommended way. Sounds very different from what he said about Kenei Lecha Chaver. Obviously, if you're going to acquire a friend, it should be a like-minded friend. And then the two of you will grow together and help each other out, and you won't have to mix with the rest of the world. as I said, the Rambam, you know, it definitely is no question that the Rambam was a little bit or a lot of an intellectual, you know, intellectual elitist. And then he goes on and talks about the other kind of person, which is essentially the opposite of this one. So that's one letter. On the other hand, there are two letters where you definitely see the human side of the Rambam. And one of these was pointed out to me by Rabbi Grossman in our conversation yesterday. This is a letter to Rabbi Yefet Hadayan. The original manuscript still exists, and this particular letter was written in Hebrew. It was sent to Eretz Yisrael, to Rav Yefet, Rav Eliyahu Hadayan. And he writes as follows. Higia ketavcha chaviv el nafshi. I received your beloved, your letter, which is beloved to my soul. V'tamati al inyanav. But I wondered about it. I was in shock. You are writing that from the day I left Eretz Yisrael, I never wrote to you to ask how you're doing. Okay, Rambam, as mentioned in the previous year, the Rambam lived in Eretz Yisrael before Egypt. He says, you're complaining that I never wrote to you, say, how are you doing? I didn't write to you. That's a pun on one of the ways that we learn Torah is sometimes we compare two things in the Torah and we start out thinking that one is going to be, so to speak, the teacher and it's going to teach an understanding of the other one. And then in fact, it turns around and the other one teaches about the first one. So that's, so he says, your letter is like that. You're complaining to me that I didn't write to you. Okay, let's look at the other side of this equation. You are the traitor, and nobody was a traitor against you. In other words, you didn't write to me, and there was reason you should have written to me. A few months after we last saw each other, my father passed away. I got letters of consolation from the West, from Spain, from Morocco, from Eretz Edom, from Europe. I got letters from all over the world consoling me. In other words, so I know people knew that my father died. Mimalach kama chadashim, places that were months travel away. V'atalo samtid chalazot. Didn't hear a word from you. V'gam eruli tzarot rabot gluyot v'eretz traim. I had many troubles here in Egypt. Mecholayim, I was sick. Bevseid mamon, I lost all my money. Bamidat Mosrim alai largeni, there were people who wanted to turn me into government to be killed. Ra'agdo lashaba alai achbachona, and the worst thing that happened recently, shi ra'ami kol ra'ash avralai miyom hirti v'adi amazed, the worst thing that ever happened to me from the day I was born until today, v'ip tirat hatzadik zatzal, the death of the tzadik, referring to his brother, David, Shetava b'yam hodu, drowned in the Indian Ocean. Uviado mamon rav li v'lo v'lachirim. And in his possession was a huge fortune of mine and his and other people. V'niach bat k'tana v'almanato etzli. And his young daughter and his widow are left with me. In other words, not only I lost my brother, and he was very, very close to his brother. Okay, I lost all my money. And I have to take care of his family. Rambam says he became physically and mentally, he went into depression for a year after his brother died. He was physically sick and depressed. I almost died myself. To this day, for 8 years, I'm in mourning. I've not been consoled. How can I be consoled? Apparently, he was Rambam's younger brother. He grew up on my knees. And he was my brother. And he was my student. And he supported me. He went out and worked, and I sat and learned. He was a brilliant student of Gemara, Vevin B'Tikduk Lashon B'Yater, and he knew grammar and how to speak properly. V'loi tali simcha ele b'rotol. My only joy was seeing him. Rambam incidentally had one son much later in life. Rambam's one son was born when Rambam was old. I think he was 19 when his father died. So he would have been, Rambam lived to be 69. So Rambam was 50 when his only child was born.
What about not mourning within a year? 18?
He seems to be describing not halachic mourning, but his. That's exactly why I'm reading this, show you the Rambam was a human being, and apparently he went into depression because it was a tremendously close relationship that he had on many levels with he was his brother, he was his student, he supported him. Rambam had obligations to support his brother's family. I mean, on so many levels, it was a tremendous loss. And the Rambam says, I couldn't be consoled. You're asking a halachic question, and I'm showing you the Rambam's a human being, too. Yeah, what were you saying?
I was going to say, we get some spirit through Yaakov.
There it's different. But Yaakov, it's different. Rashi says, I think it's Rashi.
Okay.
But that's because Yosef wasn't dead. And Hashem gave the human mind a gift that it can be consoled after a person dies. But Yosef wasn't dead, therefore Yaakov wasn't given that gift of being able to be consoled. Here he was dead, although in a sense, since he drowned in the Indian Ocean, right? You know, there wasn't at that closure of right. There wasn't of a funeral. Incidentally, speaking of which. Today or tomorrow, Gimel or Dalet Sivan is believed to be the yard site of my great grandfather, who was killed in Auschwitz, Avigdor Moshe ben Avram Abba Cohen. So, likewise, the Rambam's brother. There's no like someone who was killed in Auschwitz. There isn't the closure of a funeral and sitting a proper shiva and. Whatever reason, like I said, we're not going to psychoanalyze the Rambam. I just thought Rabbi Grossman pointed it out because you asked about what would the Rambam think about just sitting down and schmoozing with someone to make him feel good when he's feeling down. Well, here the Rambam's writing to this person, where were you when I needed you? You're complaining I didn't write to you. Well, look what I've gone through. In the last 8 years or more, if you add it up, it probably comes to more than 8 years, to hold all the events here, and I never got a single letter from you. Where were you when I needed you? I mean, that's essentially what he's saying. V'ani b'chol zot, ineni kovel lo al chacham v'lo al tamid v'lo al rea u'myuda, ra'u'i likbol alecha yoter mikulam. He says, but I'm not angry. Even though I should be angry, because me and my brother and my father and you, the four of us, okay, we are baratenu halachnu beit Hashem biragesh. We had gone to Yerushalayim together to visit the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we don't know how far they went, where they went exactly, and the location of Beis HaMikdash, But they went together, the four of us. We had this wonderful trip together. We were so close. So if I were going to be angry at someone, I should be angry at you. And he says, he says, really, apparently this person wrote to the Rambam asking him for something. And the Rambam says, I shouldn't even answer you. Really, you don't even deserve an answer. Aval avati aruchav shmura, but my love is from previously is guarded, is protected, guarded in a good way, protected. I don't forget the times that we went together in forests and deserts after Hashem, perhaps talking about going out, you know, to meditate together in the fields or something. I'm not sure exactly. And therefore, I won't consider it a sin against you. Love covers all sins. In other words, I should be angry at you. I have good reason to be angry at you. I shouldn't even answer your letter. But our love from the olden days is gonna fix it all. Right, so that's one letter. Another letter. So that's where the Rambam is kind of writing about his own feelings. There's another letter written to someone named Ovadia Hager. It's a long letter answering various halachic questions that this person, Ovadia Hager, sent him. And apparently, Ovadia Hager also wrote about difficulties he was having integrating into Jewish society. And apparently, some people weren't very nice to him, being that he was a convert. And he writes, "V'zeh shekar l'chaksil, that which somebody called you a fool, tema gadol hu." This is a great wonder, mind-boggling. Adam sheiniach aviv moladato machut amo v'adam entia. Someone who left his father and his birthplace and his nation, which is in power right now. In other words, it's not like somebody left a downtrodden nation to looking for something better. He left, whether he was Muslim or Christian before, I don't know, but you know, he left a nation that's on top of the world to come join us. Bevin be'ein libo, sort of like Rus. Right? Rus was a princess, and she came to join the Jewish people. Bevin be'ein libo, and you understood it with the eye of your heart. Ubab nidbak ve'umazo shi hayom mita'ev goy. Even Muslim, you came to join a nation that's downtrodden, because you know that its belief, the Jewish belief, is true and just. And you recognize the ways of the Jewish people, and you know that all the other religions actually are stolen from us. One adds a little bit to Judaism, one takes away some from Judaism, but conceptually, the basic ideas of much of the basic ideas of Christianity and Islam come from Judaism. Zem Shaneh, this one changes a little bit. Zem Chazev, and this one lies a little bit. Mechapel Hashem Dreim Shelo Kein, and says about Hashem things that aren't so. Zem Oresis Sodot. Okay, so he goes on a little bit. Vikira Kol Viada, Veradav Hashem. You recognize all this, and you knew it, and you ran after Hashem. Vavar B'derech Kodesh. And you came to under the wings of the Shekhinah, and you came to sit at, so to speak, at the feet of Moshe Rabbeinu, the teacher of all the prophets, and you desire the mitzvahs, and your heart made you want to come close to Hashem, to be enlightened in the light of life, and to rise to the levels of angels, and to rejoice with the righteous. You threw olam hazeh, this world, from your heart. You didn't go after rich people. Somebody who has all of those good attributes that you have, somebody's going to call you a fool?
God forbid. Hashem didn't call you a fool. Elam askil, you are an understanding. You are a wise person, mevin, understanding, upikeach, and intelligent. V'olech nechochot, going on a straight path. V'tamido shel Avraham Avinu, you're a student of Avraham Avinu, who also left his father and his birthplace and went after Hashem. Mish berachat Avraham Rabcha, the one who blessed Avraham Avinu, your Rebbe. V'natan lo scharo b'olam hazeh v'olam haba, and gave reward in olam hazeh and olam haba. Hu yivarech otcha, he should bless you. He will bless you. And will give you your reward in olam hazeh, olam haba. V'yarich yamecha ad she'toreh mishtei Hashem l'chol adato. And may he give you long life until you yourself become a teacher to the Jewish people. V'yizakeh otcha b'lechol anechamot atidot Yisrael. And may you enjoy all of the consolations of the that are destined for the Jewish people. In other words, Mashiach and Olam Abba, and so on. So you see, the Rambam definitely knew how to use words to make someone feel good. Now, this is in a letter, not talking, but obviously there's a concept of chesed, of using words to make someone feel good. So, which leads to, I alluded to this yesterday, and will leave us also with a thought preemptive, in addition to these allusions to Rus that I just saw in this letter. Rav Volba is a sefer called Yimamari Meiratzon, Meharatzon. It's talks that Rav Volba gave around Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So the one is, there's a whole series of talks about silence. And he quotes a Gemara, which says, Amar of Papa, Gemara in Brachos, Daf Vav Amud Beis. Amar of Papa, Igra de Beitamya Shtikuta. The reward for a house of mourning is silence. Amar of Ashi, Igra de Beihilula Mili. The reward for a wedding is talking. So Rav Volba says, Kan gilu lanu chazal gidram v'sadam shel dibur v'shtika. Here, Chazal told us the lines and the secret of speaking and silence. Ha-to'elet she'ish l'adam b'mash yishtetef v'chatunahi milim. What? Why does a person get rewarded for going to a wedding? It's for the words that he says. Hu ozer bi kashrut shel chatan v'kala. He helps the chasan and kala connect to each other. How do you do that? With words. How do you dance before the kala? It's a gemara, and it's a song. It's a song because it's a gemara. Kalana ava chasuda. You say, the kala is so nice, so beautiful, so wonderful. You say that to the chasan. You make the chasan feel a connection to his kala. L'chavaval ba'ala, to make the chasan fond of her. The only way to do this is with words. The only way to make someone like someone else is with words. That's why words were created. The speech, power of speech was created. To bring people close together. Philosophers say man is a person, is a creation who needs society. And the way to create society is with speech. The lorak bein bnei adam, not only between people, gam hakesher shel adam b'rohu yidei koach hadibur, also the way you form a relationship with Hashem is with speaking. Limud Torah, learning Torah, tefillah, davening, brachos, vidui. Lugabei tefillah, hirhur lav kidibur dami. When it comes to davening, this brings us full circle to where we started 2 days ago. Okay. Thinking davening is not davening. Just scanning the sitter with your eyes is not davening. Davening is talking. You have to actually talk. Shouldn't be too loud that it disturbs the next person, but forming the words with your lips, that's davening. Then goes on the other hand, as Gemara says, the reward for going to the house of a mourner is the silence. Halacha is one of the most unknown halachos. When you go to a house of mourning, you're supposed to sit down and be quiet. If the mourner chooses to talk to you, then you respond appropriately. It's not, certainly not to go in and say, how long was he sick? How old was he? Did he suffer? Oh, my uncle died from that. Okay, all these things and certainly it's not to go schmooze about whatever. Unless the mourner starts a conversation, and then you use your words to respond appropriately to make the mourner feel good. But it's one of the least well-known things, and we've all been in houses of mourning where people say the most mind-boggling, thoughtless things. And so that's why Chazal are telling us the proper way to console a mourner is not with words. It's to sit silently and just to be there for the person. He later, a little bit later, goes on and mentions, we say in davening, on Yom Tov, the Shal Shur Galim davening, V'romamtanu mikol al shanot, You have elevated us above all tongues. One of the things we describe in our relationship with Hashem. Tavach artanu mikol ha'amim. You've chosen us from all the nations. And there's a whole list of things, ways Hashem has formed a relationship with us. One of them is to have elevated us above all tongues. You see that there's a concept of elevation through speech, and that speech should be something that elevates us, not something that, that brings us down.
It's kind of function of that we have Lashon Kodesh rather than...
Correct, but the point is, you're right, it's referring to that we have Lashon Kodesh, but the language is V'romam Tanu, you elevated us, you see a connection between speech and being elevated. Okay. Didn't say you elevated us by giving us cheesecake. You elevated us by giving us a special language. So you see there's a relationship between language and being elevated. That's the point he's making. We should all have an elevating Yom Tov and elevated speech. And good day, and see you next week. Well,